Today we are continuing through our year's study and teaching. We've been reading the Word of God together through the year of biblical literacy. Can I get a water from someone, please? Oh, here's one. I got one. That's cool. Thank you. Oh, thanks, Kev. No, you're cool. Thanks, bro. And today I'm going to be in the book of Ephesians. I have to tell you that I would say this is my personal favorite epistle. I'm sure it's true for many of you. If you can say you have a favorite, that's kind of a goofy thing to say in one way. It's all the Word of God, right? When you really start to think about the fact that it is God's Word, it's kind of a awe-inspiring and it's a wonderful thing. So it's hard to say one is your favorite, but as far as my personal study and what I've given myself to in my own life in terms of memorization and such as that, Ephesians ranks right up there at the very top. It was also a blessing when I was in Israel to see the prison cell that Paul was in Caesarea, before he was sent to Rome to see, actually to stand there and look and see in the side of a mountain these caves and to think that he wrote many of these epistles from that very place. It was pretty, very moving, obviously. I want to do something I'm going to do something different, and what it is I'm going to read straight through the book of Ephesians. That will be my lesson. And I'm going to read out of a translation that I don't believe any of you will have. I don't want it on the screen. I want you to put your phones away, put your tablets away. I don't want you reading anything. I want you to imagine yourselves to be this church in a city called Ephesus, a port city, a very important city, a port and important city in Asia Minor, that Paul had spent a great amount of time in and planted a very, very vibrant and healthy church. And now he's writing to them. And I want you to put yourselves in their shoes and imagine yourself hearing this letter being read to you. I was thinking about it this week. I was thinking how I've got so many commentaries and so many study books, and there's so much available to us to parse every single word that, you know, Paul wrote. And yet, the way that it was first heard was someone like you and like me sitting and listening to someone read it, probably, and hearing it for the first time. And many of them were very young believers. Paul didn't try to break them all down and exegete everything that he was saying so they would understand his meaning exactly. He simply wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he trusted that God would take that and use that same inspiration to teach the people of God the very words that he was writing. And so I want that to happen for us today. I want you to just sit and listen to it. And I want you to receive it. And I want you to think about what God is saying to the church through this letter. I feel like it's important, though, before I read it, to give you very quickly the theme of Ephesians. The theme of Ephesians is the disclosure, notice the words, of God's eternal divine purpose, which is the uniting together and reconciliation of all things in and through the person and work of Jesus Christ. I'll read it again. The theme, the main theme of Ephesians is the disclosure of God's eternal divine purpose. And Paul will refer to it as a mystery that was once hidden but is now being revealed, which is the uniting together, bringing everything together, both in heaven and on earth, all things in and through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Now, the next slide simply makes this statement that in God's plan of reconciliation, Jesus Christ is at the heart and the center of all that the Father wills. And this is key. And at the heart and center of His work, of Christ's work, is His church. In God's plan of reconciliation, the Lord Jesus Christ is the heart and center of all that the Father wills. And at the heart and the center of Christ's work is His church. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the head, has given the church this awesome responsibility and a role as this redeemed community by which He will bring unity to an alienated, fragmented, and fallen world. And I was thinking about the modules that we're getting ready to teach, Kath and I, and I was thinking, you know, for some of you, you hear this, oh, we're going to talk about marriage again. We're going to talk about family again. Think about yourself. You're living at the end of redemptive history. You are living at the end of redemptive history. And I. What does God have to say to us regarding marriage at the end of redemptive history? That's what I want to talk about when we talk about these things. It's not just to fill our minds with more knowledge. It's to gain a knowledge and an understanding of what the Spirit of God is saying to the church in the day in which we're living. So if you would allow me, I want to read straight through the book of Ephesians. And I want you to concentrate, and I want you to listen, and I want you to hear it as though you were hearing it for the first time, as though you, as a young believer, were listening to a letter written by a great apostle who had a great affection for you, who was really jealous for you, and who had written this letter to be read by the elders of a very important church in a very important city, which I believe we are as well. I believe we are an important church in an important city. And I want you to hear these words. I'm going to be reading out of I bought this on Kickstarter. It's called Bibliotheca. And some guy decided that he was going to put together the Word of God from beginning to end with no chapters, no footnotes. And he typeset it with his own print that he designed. And it's bound amazingly beautifully. It was one of those Kickstarters where you go, I want one of those, you know? And it was really reasonable. And it took him 3 years. And you know, all along you're going, I wonder if I'll really ever get it, you know? It's one of those things where, and the guy was so diligent to keep communicating. And sure enough, he got him out. And I honestly would recommend it to you. I love reading it because it's just as a book. And the way he bound it, you can actually lay it flat. It's bound beautifully. So I'm going to be reading out of this because it doesn't have any headings, footnotes, chapter titles. I might get lost, unfortunately. You know, I'm going to have to really concentrate not to lose my place. But trust me, I will do my best. Father, we just come to you with this letter. Thank you for Paul that he's thought of us, that he has great affection for us, that he has great concern for us, and he's jealous for the work of God in Christ in our midst. And I pray today, Father, that you would speak to us by your Spirit, the same inspiration that caused him to write these words, to lay his life down ultimately for these words, for the truth of these words. Lord, help us to hear them today. May they speak to us of the Son of God. May they bring to us today, Spirit of God, greater clarity of the truth of Jesus Christ. And your eternal divine plan of uniting all things in heaven and on earth in Him in these days. And so we thank you for your word, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love, having foreordained us unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, in whom we have our redemption, and through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he purposed in him for a dispensation of the fullness of the times to sum up all things in Christ, the things upon the heavens and the things upon the earth, in him, in whom also we were made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we should be to the praise of his glory. We, who had hoped in Christ, in whom you also, having the word of truth, the good tidings of your salvation, in whom, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is an earnest of our inheritance, to the redemption of his own possession, to the praise of his glory. For this cause I also, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus that is among you, and the love toward all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of his power is toward us who believe, according to the working of the strength of his might that he wrought in the Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And he subjected all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the assembly, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you he made alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the age of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also all once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with the Christ. By grace you have been saved, and he raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, that no man should glory. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that once you, though Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that you were at that time separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off are made near in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both one and broke down the middle wall of partition, abolishing in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments in ordinances, that he might create in himself of the two one new man, making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, having slain the enmity by it. And he came and he proclaimed good tidings of peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted, framed together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a habitation of God in the Spirit. It is for this cause that I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that was given to me towards you, that by revelation was made known to me the mystery, even as I wrote before in a few words, by which when you read, you can perceive my understanding into this mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, and it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus, through the good tidings of which I was made a minister, according to the gift of that grace of God that was given me according to the working of his power. To me, the less than the least of all the saints was this grace given, to proclaim the unsearchable riches of the Christ to the Gentiles, and to make all men see what is this dispensation of this mystery that for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, to the intent that now, to the principalities and the authorities in the heavenly realms, might be made known through the assembly the manifold wisdom of God, according to the purpose of the ages that he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access and confidence through our faith in him. Therefore, I ask you that you may not faint at my tribulations for you, which are for your glory. For this cause, I now bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inward man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of the Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that power that works in us, to him be the glory in the assembly and in Christ Jesus to all the generations in the ages to come. Amen. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, even as also you were called in one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us was this grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what is it but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same also who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some shepherds and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministering, for the building up of the body of the Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a full grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of teaching, by the sleight of men in craftiness, after the wiles of error, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom all the body, fitly framed and knit together through every joint of the supply, according to the working in due measure of every single part, makes the increase of the body to the building up of itself in love. This therefore I say and testify in the Lord. No longer are you to walk as the Gentiles also walk, in the vanity of their minds, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their hearts, who, being beyond feeling, delivered themselves up to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you did not learn Christ this way, if indeed you have heard him and you were taught in him, even as truth is in Jesus, that you put away, as concerning your former manner of life, the old man, who waxes corrupt after the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new man, who after God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Therefore, putting away falsehood, speak truth, each one with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him who steal no more. But rather let him work, working with his hands, that the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for the building up of the need, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, in whom you were sealed in the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as God in Christ is also forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, even as the Christ also loved you and delivered himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for an odor of a sweet smell. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as becomes saints, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not befitting, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know of a surety, that at no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of the Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with empty words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but you are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is well-pleasing to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. For the things that are done by them in secret is a shame even to speak of. But all things, when they are reproved, are made manifest by the light. For everything that is made manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, and rise from the dead, and let the Christ shine upon you. Therefore, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunken with wine, in which is riot, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to the God and Father. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, to your own husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the assembly, himself the Savior of the body. But as the assembly is subject to Christ, so wives also should be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as the Christ also loved the assembly and delivered himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself a glorious assembly, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Even so, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as Christ also the church, because we are members of his body. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and he shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I speak in regard of Christ and of the church. Nevertheless, you also, every one of you, let each so love his own wife as himself, and the wives see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening and the admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, obey those who, according to the flesh, are your lords, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as though to the Lord. Not in the way of eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the soul, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he shall receive again from the Lord, whether bond or free. And you, lords, do the same things to them, and forbear threatening, knowing that he who is both their Lord and yours in heaven, and there is no respect of persons with him. Finally, be made powerful in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the good tidings of peace, and above all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and in this being sleepless in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in opening my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of this gospel, for which I am an ambassador in a chain, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you may also know my affairs, what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our state, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible. Amen. Stand with me, please. Father, thank you that we are seated with Christ. We've been raised up and seated with him in heavenly places. But you've called us to now walk on the earth as beloved children in holiness, in faithfulness, in obedience. We want to put off, as your word has just admonished us, the things of the flesh. We want to put off, Lord, the works of darkness in which we used to walk. We want to put on the new man, Lord, that is created in righteousness and holiness in the very image of God. Father, we want to stand in strength. Lord, your word says, having done all, now stand. Stand, therefore, repeatedly, Lord, in that last portion of his letter, the apostle has challenged and encouraged us to stand. Strengthen us with power in our inner man, we pray, Lord, that we might understand the mystery of Christ. Lord, that having seen the truth of Jesus Christ, it would compel us to live our lives radically for you in this day. We're tired of compromise. We're tired of weak expression of the Christian faith that is ridiculed. Lord, we know that that which is genuine and of you is awe-inspiring. It's filled with life. That it, as it reproves the darkness, Lord, the light is made manifest. Help us to walk as a prophetic people filled with the Spirit of God. Lord, teach us to clothe ourselves daily in the armor of God. Lord, that we would not be deceived by the wiles of the enemy, by the craftiness of evil men and their deceit. Teach us to walk in humility. Teach us to walk in love. Teach us to speak the truth in love one to another. Teach us to forbear with one another, Lord, and to forgive one another even as you have forgiven us. Father, we pray for strong families that are a public and a prophetic testimony of the truth of God in Christ. That marriages would be holy. Lord, that there would be a genuine love of a man for his wife and the genuine honor of a woman for her man. And for children who obey with willing hearts and families that are healthy and godly and in order, that speak of the truth of God and the love of God for his people. Fill this church with godly families and godly marriages, O God, we pray, in Jesus' name. Give us wisdom in the raising of our children. And for the singles among us, Lord, may they not settle for less than what you have for them. And for those, Lord, that are unequally yoked, we pray for them that you would give them grace to love their mate, to love their spouse unto you. And those that are married to unsaved men or unsaved women, we pray for them. May they come to you, Lord Jesus. May they come to saving knowledge of you, we pray. That you would be glorified in the church in all ways and in all things. And Father, we pray lastly that you would put this deep hunger in our hearts for the truth of the Word of God. Because it is the revelation of Christ. It is the unfolding and the revealing of this great mystery that has now been made known to us in these last days. We are alive in probably the most important time the earth has ever known. We, of all generations, you have chosen to live now. Help us not to settle for less than all that we are called to be, we pray. Father, we do pray we would impact this city with the power of God, with the love of God, with the truth of the gospel of God. Use us, Lord. Use us up. Use us up, O God. Use us up. I pray, Lord, even as I read that we would actually be sleepless due to prayer. That, Lord, that we would be awakened to pray because of the urgency of the hour. O God, awaken us, O Lord. Awake, O sleeper, that the light of God may shine upon you, says the Spirit of God. Awake, O sleeper, that the light of God may shine upon you. May we be awakened, O Lord, by the voice of God. We worship you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we worship you. You are the true and living one. We thank you today, Lord.